Is from Acts chapter 2. This is Peter's sermon, which came out of that very chaotic Pentecost. I'll just read you a couple of bits and pieces there. David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, Men of Judah and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you supposed, only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what Joel spoke. In the last days it will be, God declares, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And then from the Psalms, Peter's sermon says, Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know the certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Heavenly Father, send us out in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Every morning you see them. You see it at night. You see some during the day. You see it in the country. And you certainly see it in the city. And you can see it here, right in this building today. Mothers are sometimes the most sensitized to it. Sometimes it's very obvious. Sometimes it's covered up. But you see it every day. When it comes to Jesus, we rely on those who were sculptors. We rely on those who are painters. We rely on imagination. And that's just how we see it. Artificial intelligence may, in fact, create something statistically possible. Peter, whose sermon came out of this Pentecost, this chaos of Pentecost, does something very important here for us today, and we still use it. He based his address in all this chaos, in all this amazement, in all this shock, he based that particular sermon on God's word. He used the Psalms, he used the prophet Joel, and that's where it came, clear as you can see. And he saw it. He saw what was happening. He saw the shock. He saw the wonderment. He saw the mystery. He saw the relief. Peter had an advantage there. But this particular address, this sermon, still forms our way of preaching and teaching today. And yet we have so much more than Peter. As the church later moved into its darkness, into its shadows, we have a reformation. We have a return to God's word, the clear word of God. Nothing else, nothing else. Just that word. And Peter spoke it clearly. And he saw, like we see, he saw something very special. You've seen it. You see it all the time. And you do take notice of it. But what are we talking about? We are talking here of the Father who has created it, the Son who's taken it on, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that one who defers, who is shy, points to it. Faces. I'm talking faces. You've seen it. You know when your kids are sick. You know when they're depressed. You know when they're angry. You know about faces. You in your office, you in your places of work. If the boss comes in and his face is stern and he's looking right through you with those little razor beams, you know there's trouble ahead. It may well be that that's the end of the road for you in that job. It may be quite unjust. It may be unfair, but you can see it. You'll see it in the faces. Everybody, Peter saw faces. Peter saw Jesus' face. Jesus who said, whoever's seen me has seen the Father who sent me. Peter saw it right there. He saw the tears that came from that face. The agony of a Gethsemane, he saw it in the face. He saw the tears over Jerusalem. He saw the tears when Lazarus had died and Mary and Martha were absolutely devastated. But he saw the reassurance in that face as the hand came out and stopped him from drowning when the silly man took his eyes off of the one thing that should never be taken away, Jesus his Savior. He saw it. He saw the pity. He saw the gentleness. Above all, probably he had in his mind that he was seeing the Savior looking down at him when he said, no, I don't know him. I've never known him. I've had nothing to do with him. That look of pity and a reminder, Peter, Peter, I told you so. I told you so. You would deny me. So he had seen that. He had seen the face. He didn't forget it. That was imprinted, and that would surely have been in his mind as well. But he also saw that gentle, let the children come to me. John's gospel is very clear. In this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The face that Peter had seen was not just the Creator, but the Savior. And the power through which he saw that was through the Holy Spirit, meaning your face and my face are now the faces of the children of God. There's no higher status. You cannot have any higher status in your world, in my world, in this world. A world where clearly, again, John's gospel says, this is a world of tribulation. But I have overcome the world, says Jesus. Yes, there's trouble in this world. Yes, it won't be easy. Yes, there'll be challenges. Yes, there's unfairness. But I have overcome the world. Now you watch the faces switch and change as they hear the message. People live in a world of trouble. But Jesus is saying, I knew you would abandon me. I knew you wouldn't be there when I had to go through that agony. I knew that. I knew that you would walk away from me, even though I always walk with you. I knew that you're irresponsible. I knew that you're inconsistent. I knew that you wouldn't tell anybody about me. I knew that. I knew you didn't want to be in my presence. But you see, I have forgiven that. Yes, I know you face judgment, but I have taken that judgment from you. You will not be judged. I have taken it. You are a child of God. Look at your face. A child of God. A beaten up face sometimes, a face that had accidents, a face that's really showing its wrinkles from all that hard work, all that agony, all that concern. A face that sometimes is so happy. You look at the faces around you. If you're a people watcher, you'll see it. You'll see all kinds of faces. There are the faces in this world today And I'll tell you, we hear what you're saying, but why would we want this peace? This peace that you talk about, that this Jesus of Nazareth, that this man came to put himself where you are so you can be drawn back into the Father, his family. This face, this particular thing, we don't need. This peace of God, we don't need. Until they do. Then think of the other faces you've seen recently. You go into the world, there are thousands of faces. You see them every day. There's a face of someone who's been to one too many motivation seminars. And he is going for it. He has got bright eyes. He knows it's all out there. He knows no other motivation until he does. There's a face of those who are satisfied in their own skin, who are quite comfortable, who don't want to know about anything else. I'm all right, okay, I'm okay. Until they're not. Sometimes you'll see faces with masks. People who work in the night who don't want to be recognized, who go out to steal, to hurt, to harm. Their faces are covered. Until they're not. Then you see the hurting people, the sad people, the despairing people. They have masks. They put on their clown masks. And they're covered. Until they're not. I don't want this forgiveness. I don't need it. I don't want to have a crutch you call Christianity. I don't need that at all. My world's all right. I know where I'm going. I know what's happening. I don't need this Christianity. I don't need your faith. Until they do. There's a world out there which is so comfortable today. There's a world out there that takes the name of Jesus Christ the Savior, the one to whom the Holy Spirit points, the one to whose cross you cannot remove or snuff out. And they use it. You watch them on TV, in public, the people you know. And they use the name of Jesus Christ blasphemously. And they don't care. They are okay. They do not need a Savior. They do not need Jesus the Christ. Until they do. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.